unbalanced. They've got a tremendous amount of investment, and not all the investment projects have been completed by the time the cutback had to be made. There were also political mistakes. So it was partly due to mistakes, partly due to the bad weather, which was quite disastrous, and partly due to the fact that the Russian technicians were suddenly withdrawn right in the middle of this crisis. But after 3 years, a series of good harvests set in, and development went ahead, and a great deal of the investment that was carried out during the Great Leap turned out to be extremely useful. So the enormous amount of irrigation works, an amount of construction, amount of setting up factories and so on, all this came into play after the harvests had recovered. So the idea that the Great Leap was a failure, or basically a mistake, is not very plausible. And anyway, I don't think it's got anything whatever to do with a policy of walking off too late.
I'd like to know how you contrast, if you do, the policy you prescribe of seizing a country, seizing control of its own resources, and then the intellectuals of that country to decide how it's to arrange its own destiny, its own development. How you contrast that to the course of Russian development following the Russian Revolution, which in my mind at least was largely dependent on slave labor and the imperialist exploitation of Eastern Europe following World War II.
The history of the Soviet Union is very different from the history of the countries which we're talking about now, the third world countries who are trying to develop. The Soviet Union carried out a tremendous effort of industrialization. Thank God they did. If they hadn't carried out this policy, however brutal it may have been, they wouldn't have been able to withstand the Nazis. And we should all sit happily here discussing our...
economics in the United States who have a tradition or still believe in competitive capitalism and all that, that in third world countries it's more a choice for oppression, that sort of thing, not being duped or tricked or actually believing in the existence of a competitive capitalism.
There's a very big effort that's been made by the United States. To educate the intellectual elite of the third world countries. And insofar as they educate them in economics, they educate them in all this stuff. And they are teaching the universities there are carrying on the tradition of teaching people this stuff and preventing them from looking in a rational manner at the problems of their country.
To what do you attribute the failure of Yanis Chile?
He didn't quickly enough get enough support to be able to stand up against the military who were defending the interests of the middle class and of dollar imperialism.
Could you say a few words about the policy of walking on two legs in relation to the development of North Vietnam and maybe contrast it to what's happening in South Vietnam?
I'm sorry?
Could you say a few words about North Vietnam and the development of the economy in a small country which isn't China, which seems to be maintaining a lot of old traditional things while still developing?
Yes, I mean, clearly there's a big contrast between the way that situation is developing in those two parts. There's an even more striking case, and that is North Korea and South Korea. North Korea, I think, is an example to show that the economies of scale are not so important after all, because they built up their whole place was smashed completely flat. I mean, not one stone standing on another. They had a little bit of industry. They kept going in caves and the mountains and in underground works. It was completely devastated. Well, they set about reconstructing the country. They'd formerly been the food deficit area, the rice bowls in the south. They got their agriculture up to the point of being able to feed themselves, and they developed the whole range, practically the whole range of modern industry. They have very good mineral resources. That was a good foundation for them. They built up vehicle industry, machine making industry of all kinds. They're making it in small patterns. See, one 5-year plan, they produced 5 diesel locomotives and 2,000 trucks and 1,500 tractors, this sort of thing, you see. And then they managed to build up their industry, and now they're quite a formidable industrial country. Their main stress was on education. Everybody went to school, and their workers and technicians worked together to find out how to manage all this technology. And they built up this economy, which has light industry, heavy industry, agriculture, education, health service, housing, and so on, looked after. Well, in South Korea, they developed on the basis of cheap labor. They have an export industry, and just a nice example for free trade theory. See, they have an export industry based on low wages, cheap labor, and built a very divided society. And as for people being in jail, as the point was made here, it's an extremely brutal tyranny which keeps the country together. Now here you have a contrast between two ways of development in the country of the same people, so there can't be any historical difference.
Is there a differential impact from the investment by capital or funds, surplus of some kind, from socialist countries in third world countries? For example, the Russian investments in the oil industry in Iran. Is there a different impact between the investment of those, that surplus, and the surplus from capital? And if so, what is that difference?
I don't mean the surplus, you mean the finance?
Yes.
Yes, I think that they are pursuing many different policies. Soviets are giving aid to build up the economies of the countries which they think will support them. And the capitalists are giving them up, giving it for the countries where they think they can find profitable markets.
Well, in the case of the Iranian oil, the Russian investment is very much like the investment of the Western oil companies. That is an extractive industry. which takes natural gas and oil from Iran across the border and so on. And that's not a form of aid.
No, it's not a form of aid. It's very good business for them. They want the oil and they personally got it.
But what is that a differential impact of that on the local economy compared to the investment of the Western capitalists or the large Western oil corporations?
As far as it's the oil industry, I suppose the effect is the same. But the arrangement for the market is quite different.
You mentioned that you had some disagreements with Professor Grant, political economy. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit. The specific disagreements that you have with some of the main arguments in political economy.
Well, I think he took too simple a view of some of these problems. I can't remember. Take the Baran Sweezy book. You see, monopoly capitalism. There, the whole argument turns on the idea that under monopoly, profit margins are raised, the share of profit is raised, the rate of exploitation is raised. But this seemed to me to be taking over the idea from the textbooks. The competition is all right, and monopoly is wrong. I don't think that when the American economy was competitive, the share of profits was necessarily less. They don't certainly give us any evidence of that. So you have competition, as long as the economy is expanding fast enough to make a seller's market. When the supply overtakes demand, you get into a buyer's market, then they begin to form rings to defend themselves. But I don't see how you can say that competition necessarily has lower profit margin. So I think
picked up an idea and run off with it without really examining it. I'd like to ask you how you think that developed countries should finance their development. If they rely on foreign countries, say foreign capital countries, clearly a lot of the profits, a lot of surplus will be appropriate. But if they rely on domestic capitalists, local capitalists, then, as in the case of Mexico and Brazil, you get a very unequal society of government. Yeah. So I'd like to ask you how you think less developed countries should finance their development and whether you think it can be done without a social revolution.
Well, the Chinese finance their development without creating an unequal society.
I certainly agree that can it be done without a social revolution?
No.